we can just pick off where we left off. So I think, yes, you were talking about having been a former at Barnshaw Nursery and working with Mr. Acton in the nursery. So.
Well, it was, I went out with Mr. Acton to different places. And then I went to Ollerton Nursery as foreman because of a bit of trouble there, but we won't go into that. And they've got a lot more trees. They've got conifer trees, all varieties of rhododendrons. And this nursery was owned by a fellow called Arthur Cordwell, which was Mr. Cordwell's uncle, I think. And he was brother to Mr. Lehman's mother. And Mr. William Cordwell took it over. And I was there for till they sold up then.
Right.
I had to go out to help the guy at Barnshaw Nursery when they sold up. And we put all the selling trees, and that was a bit sad, that was.
So how long was that after it? When was that? When did the selling up happen?
No, it was 90, I think it was.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they just had the bicentenary, see, at 1980. And then about 10 years later, Mr. Cordwell retired. His son, David, went to Australia, and he went to see if he'd come back, and he wouldn't come back, so he retired.
Right.
And they sold up now. There's houses built on it.
Right, yeah.
And it's, I think they've started another nursery up at Ollerton.
I've seen the
name. On the side. As where I was, but I don't think there's anything on the other side where the roses were.
Right. Yeah.
The foreman at the roses was Mr. Alan Sant. That was a big job, growing roses. I used to go there from Barnshaw, spraying the roses.
Tell me a bit more about that then, what you're doing with the roses.
Well, I've I know the principle of budding roses, but I've never done any. And I used to go spraying the roses, the standard roses. And you used to have to be very careful. You could blow these out, you see, when they were standard roses. You just blow the tops off them if there was too much pressure in there. So you had to be very careful what you did. And you could ruin a batch of roses very quickly. And I used to go there from Barnshaw spraying and get me spray mix and go and spray it.
Did you have training to do that in those days?
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. And you didn't have training to spray the weed killer, which you've got to have now. But since when I was at Tatton, this training came into being. And if you just started spraying, you had to go.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to go because I'd already... It's not killed me yet, so I've...
You've been doing it a long time.
I've been doing it a long time, you see, so I didn't have to do it. But I knew the principle, you have to, so many yards, and it's a very complicated thing. And I had to go down to Knutsford to spray Mr. Cordwell's roses and... It was.
Yeah. Well, tell me a bit more about Ollerton Nursery then, because how long were you there?
How long was I there? Probably 4 years. No longer. No longer. I was at Barnshaw the longest.
Ah, so how long was it at Barnshaw then?
Must have been 20 odd. As I say, I went there when I must have been 20. And We pulled the apple trees up, burnt them all, and then planted trees on it. We planted apple trees on it, and cherry trees, and beech, all the rest of it. It was all a great... I picked the apples, and we used to have people in to pick the apples. Students from Manchester University had come, help us pick the apples. Two or three ladies came in and for grading the apples, used to grade them, and these ladies used to grade them and pack them, and we'd send them off.
What about all the soft fruit? What happened to all of that?
Well, the raspberries would go to a shop in Knutsford. I think the gooseberries went the same place, and the blackberries would. They all went to a certain shop in Knutsford. And of course, when I started at Cordwell's, Cordwell's got their own shop in Knutsford, a flower shop. Mr. Daniels, that was, run that shop. Then they got rid of the shop, and the way it still is now today. And when I was with Peter Acton, we used to do the hanging baskets down the street. We used to go to the Poplar Cafe, the people who owned the Poplar Cafe at Lynn, and do their garden. They were two, I don't know whether they were brothers or what they were, but they lived in great big bungalows, and we were their gardeners.
So when you were out with Peter Acton, what sort of things were you doing? What were you involved in? You mentioned hanging baskets, but...
Everything. Making rockeries, building rockeries. For the owner of a certain restaurant in Knutsford. He lived down Manchester Road. We went to Tattendale for a relation of, a brother of Mr. Brooks at Peaver Hall. So his brothers lived at Tattendale. And we cut the ivy off round the building outside. It was going up the roof and everything, and I got a rash from that ivy. There's one or two things I don't touch now is buddleia. And there was one called a sea kale. And I came up terribly with sea kale. Ooh, terrible it was. And other than that, it was a good life. Lovely.
You've mentioned rashes and things, and you've mentioned weed killers and so on. I presume you were dealing with quite a lot of pests and diseases, throughout your career?
Oh, so yes. Yes, you see, the apple orchard in January, we would spray the apple trees with a thing called DNC Overmort, and it was bright yellow and very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. You'd have a mask on and you'd have to turn into the winds it blew back at you, like, you know. And that was... winter wash for apple trees, and I think this, if I remember right, there's about 18 sprays for apple trees. There's bud burst, green cluster stage, blossom stage, and there's all these different things for apple sawfly. The apple sawfly gets in the flower, you see. That's why he's in the... You've got that thrash in the apple core. He's in at the start, and then eats his way out, you see. And then he's another sawfly when he flies off, you see.
Yeah. And you had to keep on top of them then?
You did, yes. Well, you had to do... Mm. You had to spray the trees because the customers come round. They were buying apple trees because we got trained espalier, fan-trained... Cordon trees. Well, I made cordon trees myself. And that's Mr. Lehman's teaching.
Right, because that's quite a specialist area, isn't it, really?
It is.
Training
Training trees, yes. You have to train them when they're very young. You can't always train them when they brittle, you see, and you have to train when they're very tender shoots, you see, and then bend them down, and then as you get them down, you can, they'll go further, you see. And three tiers, two tiers, we've got fan trained, seven in the fan. Like I say, corns, I think we used to buy a lot of peaches, nectarines and things like that in, as we're already trained, you see. And we wouldn't do that because that's a very big job of, because they were all grafted onto the plum stock.
Mm-hmm. Where did those come from, all those, do you know?
They'd come from specialised nurseries. Mm-hmm. Like the one specialised nursery was Matthews. Mm-hmm. I forget where they come from now. Great big wagons they'd got. Yeah, Matthews nurseries they came from. A lot. Yes. We'd have, of course we used to grow about 5,000 blackcurrant bushes for selling. Four or five different varieties. Boscoot Giant, Amos Black, Seabrook's Black. And red currants we got, white currants.
Because they all need quite a lot of attention, don't they?
Well, they are, as when you're planting them, the red currants have to be planted on a leg, you see. So you take all the buds off and then stick them in the ground and away they go. And we used to grow about 500 of those. Sell them all. We used to sell all. People used to come in and start selling for Ribena and stuff like that. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And lilac we grew. About 10 varieties of lilac.
So it's not just the fruit then. You've got, and the trees. You've got other. Oh, we've got
fruit and cherries as well. Mm-hmm. Plums, greengage, Victoria. Mm-hmm. All sorts of plums. Czar as well. Very old plum like. Jargonelle pears. Mm-hmm. In that book there's
a list.
And it's got Jargonelle pears, so they're growing a long, very long while. Of course, they're a very good pear, like, you know. Williams pear. That was used for bottling. Williams was called Bartlett, bottling pear. And we grew all sorts. You name it, we grew it.
Yeah. Was it a big change going to Ollerton? You've mentioned different types of things there. When you move from Belleshill to Ollerton Nursery?
No, not when you've always worked with trees and you go into trees, you just know that you know what you've got, you see.
But you mentioned conifers, for example.
Well, I didn't know much about conifers, but you soon, when you've done it, you soon learn about it, you see. Mm. Soon how to... Mm.
So what sort of things did you... What sort of conifers, what were they?
Castle Weller. This big green one, Leylandii. There's one called Winston Churchill. That's it outside there, Winston Churchill. On that house up there, that's a Winston Churchill. Quite a few different sorts of conifers ago. I can't remember them all. Really, it's a long while ago.
Do they require a different treatment, or, you know, different? Do you have to do different things for conifers?
No, not really. Not unless you keep them clean. They don't. They look after themselves really, because they've got, they don't get many bugs in them. And the clever things conifers are, because they nearly self-water. Yeah, when it rains, no matter how it hits that twig, it'll run down the trunk. You watch it, if you do it, you'll see it. And Yeah, what else?
What was the new? What other new things were there? That you mentioned rhododendrons.
Oh, yeah, all varieties of rhodi. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so we must have been... I don't know how many we grew. But we used to buy those in pots. We got a lot of pots at Ollerton with different plants in. Flame of the Forest. We dug a great big bamboo up. And I split that one up into clumps to fit in a plant pot. And what you plant those in, you plant it in clay. Just use clay to, and they did very well. We sold all those. Yeah, we got a lot of different sort of trees in, conifer trees in pots. Pinus sylvestris, which is a Scottish pine. There was absolutely hundreds of them in pots. Yeah. You just can't go into how many we had.
It must have been, those nurseries must have been very big.
They were. They must have bought this land very early on, because it's mentioned in that. Mm. But I say Barnshire was, at Barnshire we bought this, it must have been 30 acres to start with. Mm. And then we rented another field that was 12 acres. And that was full. We had to have that drained first. And as I say, one half of it, we got it into two halves of the field. And we'd 20,000 beech planted. About 1,000 cherries, 1,000 laburnum, 1,000 crabs, crab apple. The flowering crab, they were, not the... when we got the fruiting crab as well, like John Downey and Sentinel and all the rest of them, you see. Yeah. Fruiting crabs.
So when you went to Ullerton, you'd been supervising at both places, hadn't you?
Yes.
Or being a foreman. How many people were you responsible for? What was your sort of team, if you like?
Well, at Barnshire, I must have had about 10. Right. Yeah. Then I got to about 16. Mr. Cordwell come one Friday and he looked at them all working. And he said, I think we'll have some of these at all. So he took them off me. There was all, at Ollerton, they were winding down then, you see. Right. And at Ollerton, we did have a tractor called a Kubota, which lifted trees up. See, just have a lad on the tractor and I'd select the tree. Just put machine on it, lift it out like as if it was nothing, no digging. You could dig 500 trees up in a day, like, you know, with it. And didn't need to rest, that didn't. They were winding down, there must have been about four at Ollerton then. We got a bit of planting to do, but it was generally winding down then. Mm. Yeah.
Did you know that when you transferred? When you went from Barnshire to Ollerton?
No, but it soon became obvious what was going to happen. Mm. Yeah. Because we got greenhouses; they did house plants and different things. You know.
Did you ever work in the greenhouses yourself, or was it always out?
No, I always worked outside. I used to go on a Saturday morning to somewhere where I lived and work with a friend of mine, and he was in greenhouses and we did some for him. But I never did any at Cordwell's. It was always outside. So there was a lot of grass cutting at Barnshire in the orchard. We had a tractor and got myself trapped under a tree one day. I was going along, I was looking at the machine behind me, you see, and I wasn't looking where I should have been, looking where I was going, and I hit a branch and I was trapped in the branch and the tractor was still going, and I was stuck there.
How did you get out of that one?
I just stopped the tractor and went in reverse and ducked under the blanket. Mm-hmm. You don't do it twice.
No, no. Did you have any other injuries? And you mentioned your hands and stuff. But did you have
nothing. No, no. Yeah. No. Okay. I've got a bad knee with banging at tree roots and
kneeling as well. Oh no, I suppose you don't do so much kneeling, do you?
No, you didn't do much kneeling. No, it was when you were when you were budding.
Yeah.
It was the back of your legs there has got. Oh, it killed. That did.
What were you doing, squatting?
Yeah, you used to have to. You were. You were bent down like that. You see. And you got the stock here.
Yeah.
And you'd cut that like that and put a T cut in there. You know, cut your. Your scion,
yes.
Well, it's not a scion, it's budding wood.
Yeah.
And you cut the bud off this, a big long tail on it, and stick it into the T-cut, trim the top up, then wrap it round with the elastic. And the back of your legs there, not your back, but there.
Did that mean you never stood up then? You were just going along the, bent like that all the time?
Yes. Yeah. But you did have to stand up, because it after a certain while, it would get too much, you see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But sometimes you did that, and then you got a young lad behind you doing the tying in, you see, as they called it. That's putting elastic, piece of elastic round it and twisting it round and just putting it through and tying it off. That's all he did. Mm-hmm. And, then grafting was when things were dormant. You see, what you did, when the bud didn't grow, the stock was still in the ground. So what you did then, you went and grafted it. You see, you cut it off, cut the top off it, did a stroke up with your knife, a slanted stroke, one, first, only one, not several, just one straight up like that, you see. And that graft was called a whip and tongue graft. You see. But there's another graft, but wasn't very good. You did it on thicker trees. Was a cleft graft. You cut down the middle and stuck the scion in the top, you see. And then you put it round with some Arbrex, it was called. It was black to stop disease getting in it. But now they say as using that, if you cut it off, you see, you don't prune plum trees, you see, because if you do, you'll get silver leaf. A lot of disease go into plum trees because it's, I don't know what it is, but it gets silver leaf if you make a cut above then the fingernail, the little fingernail. If it's any bigger than that, it must be covered up. But now they say as soon as you've done that cut on it, it's in, so it's no use doing it. And it's like nowadays, when we put a standard tree in, we put the stake level with the head of the tree. Now they put it down at the bottom.
That's right, yeah.
You see? Because they're supposed to blow about, move them about. Well, I'm old fashioned, I suppose, and don't believe in that. I don't believe in that.
Did you ever do any other? You've mentioned budding and grafting. Did you do any other propagation?
Oh yeah, there was black currants. Mm. You just cut the black currant into 9-inch lengths, stick them in the ground. See, when you come to red currants, like I say, you leave three buds on the top, just three, and then get a sharp knife and cut all the rest off. And then stick them in the ground, then they're grown on a leg, because they're supposed to be grown on a leg. Mm-hmm. And quite a few we used to, different things we used to.
Mm. What about any of the shrubs, the things like, lilac, things of, you know, different sorts of things?
No, we didn't do lilac. Mm. We used to buy lilac in from Holland. Mm. And they were Madame Lemoyne, Souvenir de Louis. Mm-hmm. Souvenir de Louis Spath, that is. Michael Buckner. There's quite a few and you forget. And yeah, I've forgotten a lot of the lilac. And in Mountain Ash, we'd have 1,000 Mountain Ash stocks, and there'd be Joseph Rock, Lutescence, and we grew a thing called a service tree. You've seen these white leaf trees, haven't you, about? Yes. Lutescence they are. There's quite a few varieties of those about, but it's all grown on the service tree, you see. We grew Hornbeam, Field Maple we grew. Mr. Lehman got some Field Maple one day, and it threw up another funny tree, never seen it before. And it's now, there's two of them now in Tatton. And they call William Caldwell. And this tree went down to Chelsea to be certified as a new species. And Mr. Lehman found this tree and he called it William Caldwell.
You've mentioned Mr. Lehman quite a lot of times.
Yeah.
Tell me about him and who he was and what was his...
I met Mr. Lehman in 1960. I just left a farmer who I can go now to his farm, well, his house. He's a lot older than me now. And I start talking to him, just left yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And as I met Mr. Lehman, I thought, oh dear, what? I don't like this fella. He knows, I've told him. And he grew on. And he was most never go on your first impression, because he was the most wonderful man you could talk to. I could ring him up now, know his address. I should go and see him, really. When are you coming to see me, he says. And I went to work with him, and he said, do you want to go to Rees Heath? I said, no, I don't. I'm not that clever. I'm not that clever. I said, I don't want to go. He said, all right, I'll train you. He said, you'll regret it, but he said, I'll train you. And he did. And he probably got it in with a hammer and chisel, but it went in. And he knew all the trees in. Oak trees, Quercus rubra. Everyone, the lucky name. Wife's doing a jigsaw, what's this? And he was a wonderful man, one of the best. Now, he always got time for you, you know.
What was his role? Was he managing the nursery?
He managed,
or
yes, he managed Barnshire
when
he first came. And then after so many years, he went as a director of Caldwell's. Because he was William Caldwell's cousin. Big tall man he is. Went to Reading University. We were all bachelors together at Barnshire. And when I went to Barnshire, the foreman there, something else, was Latvian. Misplaced persons. And there was quite a few at Ollerton. The foreman at Ollerton was a Latvian as well. One of the nicest guys you could meet, these fellas were. And there was quite a few Estonia, Lithuania. They had quite a few, yeah. Nicest guys you could meet, they were. And say Mr. Lehman's a wonderful man. Taught me all I know. He was absolutely brilliant. Can't speak highly of him, really. Miss him something terrible. And could go with him any question, anything you wanted. He only laughed when I buddied the Sorbus, they were Sorbus on to...
Tell me about that story then.
Well, when I first started there, I'd been there probably 12 months. And he probably thought I knew what I was supposed to be doing, you see. So he says, Bud, the commixter onto the ash. I said, okay. So I went and did it. But I budded the commixter onto the English ash. And it should have been mountain ash. You see? They're miles away from each other, really. And it just left a scar on the English ash, you see. He said, never mind. He said, they get over it. And they did. So I went next and put him onto the right thing next time. But that's the only mistake I ever made.
Well, that's not bad, is it?
No. Mm-hmm. Once cut an apple tree off with the grass cutter. Mm-hmm. That never even altered the tractor speed or anything. Just went zoom, mm-hmm. The tree had gone. Yeah. And he was just coming down the orchard. Mr. Lehman was, and the tree fell over. He didn't say anything. He just said, that happens, it happens.
I say, we all do things, don't we?
Yeah.
So what about the clothes then? That must have been, you said when you went to Ollerton, it became clear that it was beginning to wind down.
Well, Mr. Lehman said he liked Yorkshire and he liked the cricket. Mm. And he went to Yorkshire.
Right.
He still lives in Leyburn in Yorkshire. Right. He went to Yorkshire and I thought to myself, oh dear.
Mm.
And then a few weeks ago, we're selling up, John. Mm. We got taken over by, Mr. Carl retired.
Mm.
We got taken over by a builder. And it was obvious he didn't want to.
Mm.
He didn't want a nursery. He had no idea what to do, what happened, nothing, you see. Mm. So it sold up and we had the auctioneers in selling rolls of trees. And one day at Barnshire, and I went to Barnshire and taking them round and showing them different flats of trees, and they were selling them. And then we went to Ollerton and started doing the same there. But there was still a lot of trees at Ollerton.
Mm.
And when I worked at Tatton, we got a list of trees of Ollerton they wanted to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And there were stock taking papers. Mm-hmm. And I'd done the stock taking. And that says you had to calipers to measure the tree, you see.
Right. Yeah.
And each tree, and it took absolutely months to do. We have to go down each row of trees and measure every tree, not just guess it.
Mm.
We had a calipers, or if you got a bigger tree, you had a girthing tape, you see.
Mm.
And that'll tell you how.
Mm.
But when we went, we got a lot of big ollie trees on one side. On the side of the Duncow, where the Duncow is, there's a lot of trees there, but on the other side of Seven Sisters, there was ollie trees, great big ollie trees, and they were, I think, what was their names? Came to dig them up, but they had a great big machine to dig them up.
Right, yeah.
If they come to dig it up, they used a great big machine. It cost absolutely thousands, this machine, great big shovel on the front of it, opened up at the front, like it's all done by kindness, it was. Pressed a button and the opened the bolt, pulled back like this, and it opened out. They went round the tree and pressed another button, and it closed round them, and the bolt went home, and it dug great big spades into the ground under the tree and lifted it out as if it was nothing.
Goodness.
And the trees were that big, they get six on a low load of wagon. They were great big holly trees.
Holly trees?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't think of holly trees as being that big, I think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Great big thick trunks on them like this, yeah. And just this machine went in and pulled them out as if they were nothing.
Yeah, presumably that took quite a long time, all the winding down there.
It did, yes. And there's still trees at Allerton, and I don't know whether there's any at Barnsley or not, but where the base was at Barnsley, where the shed was and where the tractor shed was and everything, they've built a bungalow now. Yeah. There's a bungalow built on it. Mm. So I don't know what they've done. The other farmer's got the...
So what about you? What did you do?
I was out of work for a while. But with sheer luck, I knew a man called Sam Yowd. And I rang him up. Said, I believe you want a tractor driver. He said, yes, I do. Told me who it was. And righto, he said. Well, I didn't hear nothing from him for 3 months. He said, I thought to myself, well, if I don't hear next week, day or two, I'll go somewhere else. But as I was thinking this, the phone rang, and it was Sam. He said, hello, get yourself in here. He said, I want a word with you. So I went. Morning. 8 o'clock was there, and